Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Today we are celebrating the conclusion of the month of Damodar and Kartik Vrat. So we shall read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam that explains the essence of the pastime, Damodar Lila. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 9, Mother Yashoda finds Lord Krishna. Text 19. Please repeat. Evam.
Evam.
Sandarshita.
Sandarshita.
He.
He.
Anga.
Anga.
Harina.
Harina.
Vrityavashyata.
Vrityavashyata.
Savasena.
Savasena.
Api.
Api.
Krishnena.
Krishnena.
Yasya.
Yasya.
Idam.
Idam.
Sa Ishwaram.
Sa Ishwaram.
Vashe.
Vashe.
Evam sandarshita yanga. Harina Britya Vashyata Svavashena Pi Krishnena Yasidam Seshwaram Vashe Evam Sandarshita Yanga Harina Britya Vashyata Svavashena Pi Krishnena Yasidam Seshwaram Vashe. Please repeat. Evam.
Evam.
In this manner.
In this manner.
Sandarshita.
Sandarshita.
Was exhibited.
Was exhibited.
He.
He.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Anga.
Anga.
O Maharaj Parikshit.
O Maharaj Parikshit.
Harina.
Harina.
By the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
By the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Vidyavashyata.
Vidyavashyata.
His transcendental quality.
His transcendental quality.
Of becoming subordinate.
Of becoming subordinate.
To his servitor or devotee.
To his servitor or devotee.
Svavashena.
Svavashena.
Who is within the control only of his own self.
Who is within the control only of his own self.
Api.
Api.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Krishnena.
Krishnena.
By Krishna.
By Krishna.
Yasya.
Yasya.
Of whom.
Of whom.
Idam.
Idam.
The whole universe.
The whole universe.
Sa Ishwaram.
Sa Ishwaram.
With the powerful demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma.
With the powerful demigods like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma.
Vashe.
Vashe.
Under the control.
Under the control.
Translation. O Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra, is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute, he comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. Report by Srila Prabhupada. This pastime of Krishna's is very difficult to understand, but devotees can understand it. It is therefore said, darshayam stadvidam loka atmano bhakta vashyatam. Bhagavatam 10.11.9. The Lord displays the transcendental attribute of coming under the control of His devotees. As stated in the Brahma Sanghita 5.35, Eko pyasyo rachaitum jagadanda kotim yashchaktir asti jagadanda chayayadanta andantarasta paramanu chayantarastam govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. By His one plenary portion as Paramatma, the Lord controls innumerable universes with all their demigods. Yet He agrees to be controlled by a devotee. In the Upanishads, it is said that the Supreme Personality of Godhead can run with more speed than the mind. But here we see that although Krishna wanted to avoid being arrested by His mother, He was finally defeated, and Mother Yashoda captured Him. Lakshmi Sahasra Shatasam Brahma Sevyamanam. Krishna is served by hundreds and thousands of goddesses of fortune. Nonetheless, He steals butter like one who is poverty-stricken. Yamaraj, the controller of all living entities, fears the order of Krishna. Yet Krishna is afraid of His mother's stick. These contradictions cannot be understood by one who is not a devotee. But a devotee can understand how powerful is unalloyed devotional service to Krishna. It is so powerful that Krishna can be controlled by an unalloyed devotee. This vritya vashyata does not mean that he is under the control of the servant. Rather, he is under the control of the servant's pure love. In Bhagavad Gita 1.21, it is said that Krishna became the chariot driver of Arjuna. Arjuna ordered him, Senayor Ubayor Madhye Ratam Stapayame Chuta. My dear Krishna, you have agreed to be my charioteer and to execute my orders. Place my chariot between the two armies of soldiers. Krishna immediately executed this order, and therefore one may argue that Krishna also is not independent. But this is one's ajnana, ignorance. Krishna is always fully independent. When he becomes subordinate to his devotees, this is a display of Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, the humor of transcendental qualities that increases his transcendental pleasure. Everyone worships Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore he sometimes desires to be controlled by someone else. Such a controller can be no one else but a pure devotee. Translation again. O Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of His devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. Om Agyanatimirandasya Yananjana Shalakaya Chaksun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschati Deshatarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. The pastime of the Lord being bound by the ropes of Mother Yashoda is difficult to understand for ordinary people. Because in the material world, everyone wants to be master. Nobody wants to be servant. So they think of God as the supreme master, which he is. But why he would agree to become the servant of a devotee is a mystery for them, because they don't want to be the servant of anybody. They want to become the master. Our philosophy is Gopi Bhartu Padakamalayor Dasa Das Anudasa, to become the servant of the servant of the servant. But in the material world, people want to be the master of the servant, or the master of the master. And therefore there's always competition. Sometimes we also carry the same tendency with us, the same mentality with us. We want to be the servant, but actually we want to be the master. Or to put it another way, we want to be the direct servant, which means, indirectly, we want to be the master of the other servants of the same master. And therefore, there's so much politics in the material world. Everyone is competing to be the master. But with Krishna, there's no competition. He's one without a second. So that we can understand, that God is the supreme master. He's one without a second. There's no one equal to him or greater than him. But then what's happening here? He's, you know, trying to... First of all, he's stealing butter, although he's the proprietor of the universe. And second of all, he's afraid of Mother Yashoda, although fear personified is afraid of Krishna. And then he's arrested by Mother Yashoda, even though he's can run swifter than the speed of the wind, or even than the mind. And he cannot be captured even by the most powerful yogis. So what is happening here? What are all these contradictions? The answer lies in ananda, in pleasure. That in the material world, no one wants to be the servant. No one gets pleasure out of being the servant. They all want to be the master. Just like Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the politicians, that they say to the voters, we will serve you better. You know, we will render the best service to the country. So outwardly they're saying they'll be the best servant, but inwardly they're thinking, I'm going to become the master, I'm going to be the controller, I'm going to be the enjoyer. So Krishna is the supreme controller, but then how does he come under the control of his mother and father and boyfriends and girlfriends? So it is his pleasure. It is his pleasure. We don't get pleasure out of being the servant. I saw in India, there are many very sweet relationships of masters and servants there. I saw in the case of Srimati Sumati Morarji, she had a very faithful personal assistant, she had a very faithful secretary. But I would think of the purport, Srila Prabhupada's purport in the Bhagavad Gita, that in the material world no one is the servant. Really. They serve to get some pay. They appear to be the servant, but actually they serve to get some pay. And if the payment stopped, they wouldn't be the servant anymore. So I thought of these, you know, Sumati Morarji herself was very pious and gracious and cultured and religious. And her personal assistant and personal secretary were both, you know, very pious and religious. But I thought, if she stopped paying them, what would happen to their service to her? What would happen to their relationship? And I'm pretty sure it would be over. And then I thought of Srila Prabhupada's words, that they appear to be serving the master, but they're not. They're actually serving their own desires for the money. So that's why ordinary people cannot understand this pastime, because they cannot understand why God would become a servant, because nobody wants to be a servant. They don't get any pleasure out of it. They resent it. Even among the servants in Krishna consciousness, sometimes we resent being the servant of the servant. Why are you telling me what to do? No. So nobody likes to be the servant. I mean, that's the conditioned mentality. Nobody likes to be the servant. But what's happening here, Krishna actually likes to be the servant of his devotee. But what Srila Prabhupada says in the purport is very significant, that he doesn't exactly become the servant of the devotee, but he comes under the control of the love of the devotee. And the love of the devotee is actually a bhakti, or more specifically, it is Ladini Shakti, the pleasure-giving potency of Krishna. Bhakti is actually composed of two ingredients. One is Ladini Shakti and the other is Samvit Shakti. But Ladini Shakti gives pleasure. It gives Krishna pleasure in devotional service, and it also gives the devotee pleasure in devotional service. So Krishna actually comes under the control of Ladini Shakti, which is Srimati Radharani. And that tendency not to be worshipped with awe and reverence, but just to become the servant of the servant, is manifest even in this world. Srila Prabhupada tells the story of the Prime Minister of England, Gladstone, that once a gentleman came to meet him, and his secretary told the gentleman to wait, he's engaged. So the gentleman was waiting and waiting, and there was no word, so finally the gentleman opened the door to the Prime Minister's chamber, and there he saw, you know, the great Prime Minister of the British Empire on the floor, on his hands and knees, and his grandson was riding on his back and controlling him like a rider controls a horse. And so the Prime Minister was enjoying. He was tired of being the Prime Minister and given all sorts of respect and obeisances by everyone. He wanted to forget that he's the Prime Minister. And so he became a horse to be controlled by his grandson. So we are parts and parcels of Krishna. We have all the same propensities that he has. So Krishna also has the same propensity. Sometimes he gets tired of being worshipped as God. He wants to forget he's God and just become an ordinary cowherd boy and play with his friends, wrestle with his friends, play sports with his friends, and sometimes he's defeated in their sports. And then as a punishment, he has to carry his friends on his shoulders. So in the same way, Krishna also becomes the son, plays the part of the son of Mother Yashoda and King Nanda, and he likes being controlled by them. Nanda Maharaj will order him, bring me my slippers. Krishna will bring him his slippers. And even with his girlfriends, Krishna comes under their control, or, properly speaking, he comes under the control of their love. And the love of the gopis is considered the purest or the highest, and therefore he comes more under the control of the gopis than any of the other servants. So it's a change for him to be the servant. Srila Prabhupada said sometimes a rich man, he gets tired of eating opulent food all the time. So for a change he'll have like puffed rice or something. I actually saw this, of course. There's also a cultural element here, but once we were invited to the Hinduja's house in Juhu, and the Hindujas were reputed to be the wealthiest Hindus in the world. And certainly they were accustomed to having delicious banquets. But it was very odd that after we had the program, there was a little talk among the family, because the next day the daughter, I think, was having her birthday. And she wanted to celebrate by going bowling and having pizza. So You know, maybe she is tired of being like the princess of the Hinduja family. She just wanted to be an ordinary person eating, doing things that ordinary people do. But anyway, Krishna, he likes to forget that he's God and just play with his friends in Vrindavan. Now, this particular verse has some special significance for me because I came across it for the first time in Kartik in Vrindavan in 1977. This was the last, volume of Srimad Bhagavatam that Srila Prabhupada translated, and it had just come out. And in Srila Prabhupada's last days, there was also a controversy that arose because Srila Prabhupada said that he wanted to go by bullock cart. First he wanted to go all over India, then, because it was just before Govardhan Puja, he said, well, he would begin by going on bullock cart to Govardhan Hill on the day of Govardhan Puja. So Srila Prabhupada's disciples sort of divided into two camps. One camp said that the order of the spiritual master is supreme. The duty of the disciple is to execute the order of the spiritual master. So we should do it. And the other group said, you know, he's too ill. His physical condition is too fragile. You know, he could never withstand the journey. He would be jostled back and forth. The roads in Vrindavan were so bad, and then, you know, on top of it, the bullock cart doesn't have much. What do you call that? That cars have springs. Yeah. So even if they put like mattresses on the bullock cart, it would still be a very bumpy ride, and Prabhupada would have been jostled, and he definitely would have been in a lot of pain. He probably would have left his body. So, you know, the one group, they were like being very obedient and dutiful, and, you know, His Holiness Lokanath Swami was in charge of the bullock cart, you know. So he went to Mathura and got the bullock cart and bullocks, and that was also not easy because it's just not the practice to rent bullock carts. Either have one or you don't, but you don't rent one. But he managed. But the other group, they were just, you know, besides themselves with anxiety about what would happen if Srila Prabhupada actually went. So the night before Govardhan Puja, Srila Prabhupada's godbrother, Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, came to visit him. And His Holiness Bhakti Charuswami was really, he was one of the ones that didn't want Srila Prabhupada to go. And so he, like, approached Babaji Maharaj. You know, they're both Bengali, so they spoke to him in Bengali and asked him to persuade Srila Prabhupada not to go. And in the meantime, Tamal Krishna Goswami and Bhavananda Maharaj were upstairs and what used to be Prabhupada's bedroom. And then they came down and, you know, they saw Srila Prabhupada and Babaji Maharaj and Bhakti Kshiru Swami. So, basically they said that, you know, we're in too much anxiety. And Srila Prabhupada said, so, you want that I shouldn't go? I said, yes. So then Srila Prabhupada said, all right, I can't put you in anxiety. You've sacrificed so much. And so he agreed to stay. And then, you know, the next day was Govardhan Puja, and then 2 days later he left. So this controversy among the different groups of disciples continued. And, you know, the one group was saying, you know, we should have done what Prabhupada said. He's the spiritual master, and we should have just done what he said. It's not our duty to try to persuade him otherwise. And then the other group, you know, felt that they were acting, you know, according to their conscience. And they didn't want Srila Prabhupada to suffer. And they had hoped that he could stay and actually recover. So, you know, all these devotees were like, I mean, many of the leaders in both camps were senior to me. And, you know, in my history of devotional service, I'd served under all of them. And I had great respect for all of them. And so I was not really clear about who was right. You know, I'd listen to one side and what they said made sense, and I'd listen to the other side and what they said made sense. And I wasn't completely clear. So, just within, you know, 1 or 2 days of Srila Prabhupada's departure, maybe 3, I went into his room. I would just go and chant there, and so I was chanting. Somehow I went behind the head of his bed, and I was, you know, chanting, and there was his bookshelf, and there was this new volume that had just come out. So I picked it up, and I'm just paging through it, and I came to this verse. I'll read the translation again. O Maharaj Parikshit, this entire universe, with its great exalted demigods like Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma, and Lord Indra, is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, I mean, that, you know, if we take Srila Prabhupada as the representative of Krishna, I mean, that was certainly true. You know, the biggest GBC member, temple president, was like nothing in front of Srila Prabhupada. They were definitely under his control. Yet, the Supreme Lord has one transcendental attribute. He comes under the control of his devotees. This was now exhibited by Krishna in this pastime. So when I read this, I just had an insight, at least I imagined I had an insight, that this is what had happened. That even though Srila Prabhupada was independent, he couldn't be, you know, forced or coerced or cajoled into doing something that he didn't want, but he voluntarily came under the control of his devotees, or the love of his devotees. Now, devotees talk about the final lesson, and in general we take the final lesson to be how to leave the body. And certainly Srila Prabhupada did show us how to leave the body in Krishna consciousness. But there is another lesson, and that is, so from one point of view, the other lesson could be the final lesson. and that is that that love is higher than rules and regulations. That yes, we follow the rules and regulations, but the goal is to develop love. And that's also exhibited in the Damodar Lila that we sing every day in the Damodar Astakam, that Krishna showed in this pastime that he's controlled only by pure love. And here, pure love refers to the love of the residents of Vrindavan that is not mixed with knowledge of his grandeur and opulence. That's what pure love means here. It's pure. They just love Krishna spontaneously because they love Krishna. Not because he's God, not because he's full in six opulences, not because he's the Lord of Vaikuntha, the Lord of the Goddess of Fortune. They just love Krishna because they just love him. That's all there is to it. So, in Srila Prabhupada's final pastimes, I saw the same thing, that yes, he was their spiritual master, but and as disciples, their duty was to follow his instruction. But their love for him was so great that they couldn't bear the thought of him suffering, and they couldn't bear the thought of him leaving. And therefore, that love, that affection, took precedence over, you know, the mood of awe and reverence and obedience to the order. Although it was there, it wasn't like with Krishna and Vrindavan. It's never like that with the spiritual master. They were certainly conscious that he was their spiritual master. But still, you know, their love for him, their affection for him, was more prominent than their fear of transgressing the etiquette. And they didn't transgress the etiquette in any case. They just presented their heartfelt appeal to him. And Prabhupada accepted it. And I felt that his accepting their appeal, you know, indicated that he reciprocated with their love. And he never said anything to discourage the other devotees. He never commented one way or the other. And certainly they were also right. It's not that one was right and the other was wrong. They were also right. But in this dynamic that, you know, love and affection had a more powerful influence over Srila Prabhupada than the desire of the devotees to just execute the order without question. So in one sense, that is the final lesson, that pure love is more important than following the rules and regulations and, you know, sort of worshiping with awe and reverence. Although that was there, but not as strong. And we find the same thing in Chaitanya Lila also, that like the first time when the devotees from Bengal came to meet Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri. So, I think Pratap Rudra was on the roof with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and he was pointing out all the different devotees, who they were. And they were just rushing straight to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They weren't following any of the formalities, taking bath, having darshan of the deities in the temple. They're just rushing to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the king was asking, like, what's happening here? You know, why aren't they following the rules and regulations? So he explained that, you know, that their spontaneous affection is such, it just carries them to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that's actually a higher level, a higher stage than following all the rules and regulations. Now, of course, we have to know our position and act in an appropriate way for our position. You know, otherwise we become sahajiyas, like we disregard the rules and regulations and we think we're beyond them. But still, the fact remains that by following the rules and regulations, by executing the order, however difficult it may be, one will become purified and one will develop spontaneous love, begin to develop spontaneous love. And that is the purport to the pastime of Mother Yasoda binding Lord Krishna, not with her ropes as such, but with her love. Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments?
We have some activities of the pastimes of Lord Krishna where we need to follow them. There are some activities where we cannot follow them. So how does a devotee know that which pastime we should follow them and which pastime should not be followed by initiated?
He's asking, there are some activities of Krishna that we should follow and some that we shouldn't follow. So how do we know which? So the 10th canto says that the Ishwaranam, the controllers, their example should be followed when it is in consonance with their instructions. But we should not follow their example when the example goes against their instructions. Because they're powerful, they can do anything and not be affected. Just like the sun can, you know, enter a dirty place and purify the dirty place, but the sun doesn't become contaminated. So similarly, the great controllers, they can transgress ordinary laws and not be affected. But if we try to imitate them, we'll be doomed. So the injunction is that we should follow their example when their example is in harmony with their instruction. Not otherwise.
Maharaj, thank you very much. That wonderful explanation. For a person like myself who's very low down on the ladder of practicing in on reverence, just to try to, you know, transcend some of my basic anarthas, that seems so far away to come to that level of pure love for Krishna. So, how do we balance this understanding that that's the goal, and at the same time, we're just fighting back our demons?
Well, I would like to read a verse and purport on this subject, because this question came up earlier today in another form. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 20, Texts 27 and 28. Jata Shadho Matkatashu Nirvina Sarvakarmasu Veda Dukatmakam Kaman Parityage Pyanishwara Tato bhajetamam prita shradalur judanischaya jushamanas chutan kaman duko dukarmas chagayam. Translation. This probably applies to more people than you. Having awakened faith in the this is Lord Krishna speaking to Uddhava. Having awakened faith in the narrations of my glories, being disgusted with all material activities, knowing that all sense gratification leads to misery, but still being unable to renounce all sense enjoyment, my devotee should remain happy and worship me with great faith and conviction. Even though he is sometimes engaged in sense enjoyment, my devotee knows that all sense gratification leads to a miserable result, and he sincerely repents such activities. Purport. The beginning stage of pure devotional service is described here by the Lord. A sincere devotee has practically seen that all material activities lead only to sense gratification, and all sense gratification leads only to misery. Thus, a devotee's sincere desire is to engage 24 hours a day in the loving service of Lord Krishna, without any personal motivation. The devotee sincerely desires to be established in his constitutional position as the Lord's eternal servitor, and he prays to the Lord to elevate him to this exalted position. The word Anishwara indicates that because of one's past sinful activities and bad habits, one may not immediately be able to completely extinguish the enjoying spirit. The Lord herein encourages such a devotee not to be overly depressed or morose, but to remain enthusiastic and to go on with his loving service. The word nirvina indicates that a sincere devotee, although somewhat entangled in the remnants of sense gratification, is completely disgusted with material life, and under no circumstances willingly commits sinful activities. In fact, he avoids every kind of materialistic activity. The word kaman basically refers to sex attraction and its byproducts in the form of children, home, and so forth. Within the material world, the sex impulse is so strong that even a sincere candidate in the loving service of the Lord may sometimes be disturbed by sex attraction or by lingering sentiments for wife and children. A pure devotee certainly feels spiritual affection for all living entities, including the so-called wife and children. But he knows that material bodily attraction leads to no good, for it simply entangles one and one's so-called relatives in a miserable chain reaction of fruitive activities. The word dridha nischaya, steadfast conviction, indicates that in any circumstance a devotee is completely determined to go on with his prescribed duties for Krishna. Thus he thinks, by my previous shameful life, my heart is polluted with many illusory attachments. Personally, I have no power to stop them. Only Lord Krishna within my heart can remove such inauspicious contaminations. But whether the Lord removes such attachments immediately or lets me go on being afflicted by them, I will never give up my devotional service to Him. Even if the Lord places millions of obstacles in my path, and even if because of my offenses I go to hell, I will never for a moment stop serving Lord Krishna. I'm not interested in mental speculation and fruitive activities. Even if Lord Brahma personally comes before me and offering such engagements, I will not be even slightly interested. Although I am attached to material things, I can see very clearly that they lead to no good, because they simply give me trouble and disturb my devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, I sincerely repent my foolish attachments to so many material things, and I am patiently awaiting Lord Krishna's mercy. The word prita indicates that a devotee feels exactly like the son or subject of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is very attached to his relationship with the Lord. Therefore, although sincerely lamenting occasional lapses into sense enjoyment, he never gives up his enthusiasm to serve Lord Krishna. If a devotee becomes too morose or discouraged in devotional service, he may drift into an impersonal consciousness or give up his devotional service to the Lord. Therefore, the Lord here advises that although one should sincerely repent, he should not become chronically depressed. One should understand that because of his past sins, he must occasionally suffer disturbances from the material mind and senses. But one should not therefore become a devotee of detachment, as do the speculative philosophers. Although one may desire detachment to purify one's devotional service to the Lord, if one becomes more concerned with renunciation than with acting for the pleasure of Lord Krishna, he is misunderstanding the position of loving devotional service. Faith in Lord Krishna is so powerful that in due course of time it will automatically award detachment and perfect knowledge. If one gives up Lord Krishna as the central point of one's worship and concentrates more on knowledge and detachment, one will become deviated from one's progress in going back home, back to Godhead. A sincere devotee of the Lord must be sincerely convinced that simply by the strength of devotional service and the mercy of Lord Krishna, he will achieve everything auspicious in life. One must believe that Lord Krishna is all merciful and that he is the only real goal of one's life. Such determined faith, combined with a sincere desire to give up sense enjoyment, will carry one past the obstacles of this world. The words jata shraddha mat katashu are most significant here. By faithful hearing of the mercy and glories of the Lord, one will gradually be freed from all material desire and clearly see at every moment the utter frustration of sense gratification. Chanting the glories of the Lord with firm faith and conviction is a tremendously powerful spiritual process that enables one to give up all material association. There is actually nothing inauspicious in the devotional service of the Lord. Occasional difficulties experienced by a devotee are due to his previous material activities. On the other hand, the endeavor for sense gratification is completely inauspicious. Thus, sense gratification and devotional service are directly opposed to each other. In all circumstances, one should therefore remain the Lord's sincere servant, always believing in his mercy. Then one will certainly go back home, back to Godhead. Hare Krishna. So, any other questions, or do Damodar ask to come? Shri Radha Damodar ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Jitai Gaur Premanande, Jai Hari Gopal.